Todd Furman is out in Vegas.
Oh, it's 11 spot.
Hey, Todd, it's like 70 degrees here. What do you got going in Vegas?
It's about 42 degrees here, guys, so more conducive to hockey weather out here in Las Vegas than what you guys have been blessed with out in Nashville.
Do they warm the pool there? You have a huge pool at Caesars. I mean, can you go swimming during the winter?
There are plenty of people passed out on the pool deck throughout the winter, but I wouldn't really recommend swimming unless you're looking for the best hangover cure there is, which is about 50-degree cold water.
But they keep the water in there.
The water is in there all the time. We have to maintain that aesthetic beauty. So when big shots like you come rolling out to Vegas, Clay, we have the fountains fully functional, and people can soak in the sights.
That's our goal every day, honestly, is to maintain our aesthetic beauty. That's why we fall short quite often. Hey, how many people actually live in the casino and, like, never leave?
That actually live in the casino. We have plenty of guests that'll make stays here. I feel like they spend more hours in our casinos than I do, given the amount of hours that I work. But at the same time, we try and get people out after about 3 weeks, as long as we'll let guests stay in the hotel consecutively.
3 weeks is an insane amount of time. What's the most?
Do you know how much money I could lose in 3 weeks?
Oh, a lot. That's why they want you there.
Good grief.
Todd, what's the most successful payout you've had? I don't know if you can even tell us. What's the most successful payout and the biggest loss that you've had on like a weekend for somebody gambling there in the race and sports book?
That's not the same number.
Oh, there have been huge historic wins. I mean, going back, not necessarily at our casino, but there have been customers who've walked away with $5 to $6 million in wins from the table games after a 12 to 14 hour session. Sportsbook wise, you're not talking about major wins and losses, at least in relation to the casino. The biggest winners will be folks that decide to try their luck and get fortunate enough to hit 12 team parlay cards. We've actually paid out a couple of those earlier this year, but thankfully,
a 12 team parlay card be like payout? What would the rate be?
The max aggregate payout for a lot of those parlay cards are $200,000. So we haven't had folks get that aggressive. Normally the folks that'll hit the 12 teamers end up playing about $5 or $10, looking to try and catch lightning in a bottle.
And if you pay for let's say you pay a 12 team parlay for $10, what does that then pay off at? And by tell people what that means. They have to get 12 games right?
With a 12 team parlay card, you have to hit all 12 legs of the parlay, and it becomes escalating odds as you get up there. I believe those odds approach 280-1 or close to it. So the chances of folks doing that may be about the same chances Vanderbilt has to win a national championship, even under James Franklin.
Well done. Speaking of college football, is there anything college bowl-wise that in terms of lines, that is moving in a strange direction, maybe more than other games?
Not so much in a strange direction, but we just had a major line move on the Southern Methodist Pittsburgh game with news of Todd Graham's departure. Talk about a class act in the college ranks. This guy has more stops on his resume than some Major League Baseball free agents. But this number was about 4.5. We've since brought the number down to 3.5 and actually beginning to see some threes pop up. I'm guessing bettors out there are a little reluctant to back the Panthers given some of the Twitter feeds from their players.
That's crazy, right? That the Twitter feed of players can in this day and age, all that information can immediately impact your line.
Social media is an amazing tool. The unfortunate reality for us sometimes as bookmakers, the edge we used to have in terms of getting information before it got to the betting public, everything is in real time now. So if we don't react aggressively enough, there'll be bettors out there looking to take full advantage of a line that they see being a half point to a full point too high for where it should be.
How much action are you getting on LSU-Alabama? Compare that with years gone by in terms of the BCS National Championship game.
This LSU-Alabama game actually drawing a lot more interest this far out than what we saw a year ago between Oregon and Auburn. I think a lot of that speaks to the fact that we're talking about a line at a pick 'em where folks come in, feel comfortable just going, hey, all I have to do is pick the winner, not worry about how many points Team A or Team B has to win by. And then given the fervent fan following that Alabama and LSU both have, I think a lot of people have been discouraged trying to bet against the SEC in the past. Now they don't have to because an SEC team will lose in the national title.
Todd, this is actually an interesting question. I've never thought to ask it before. But do you think you can predict television ratings based on the depth of betting, you know, regularity for games? In other words, are there sometimes games where you're like, why is there going to be so much attention here? Say Kentucky-Indiana, it did well as a basketball game for a, you know, December basketball game. Were you getting a lot of action basketball-wise in that? And have you ever made a correlation between the two, the amount being wagered on a game versus how many people end up actually watching it when the television ratings come out?
Clay, I think there's a huge correlation between those two things. We take Monday Night Football's example between the Seahawks and the Rams. I mean, betting volumes were the lowest we'd seen all season, and I'd imagine ESPN's ratings would correspond to that. If folks don't have a vested interest or a reason to try and bet into some of these second-tier NFL teams specifically, nobody else from a casual fan standpoint is going to invest 3 hours on a Monday night to try and watch these games. College basketball, another great example. Games like Kentucky, Indiana, and Kansas, Ohio State, I mean, going to have much better ratings than you're talking about an Iona Richmond game going on this afternoon, and the betting handle will correlate to that.
Todd Furman, our man at Vegas Caesars Entertainment, talking about sports lines.
Right. Now, I was wondering about, since Malzahn is leaving the Auburn game, did that affect any of the line there with this potent offense? Are they going to, you know, did it affect it at all?
The Auburn number hasn't moved much. It's actually ticked up a little bit, but still not around key numbers. Auburn right now sitting as a 1.5-point favorite in this spot. I think the potential suspension to Michael Dyer may impact things a little bit more. But right now, Auburn is one of those programs kind of in flux. I mean, a lot of rumors about Coach Stoops coming down there for seven figures to be part of the Auburn coaching staff. I think this is going to be a much bigger game for Virginia than it will be for Auburn 1 year removed from a national title. And when you talk about coaching and motivation, I don't think coaching gives Virginia an edge, but I have to imagine the Cavaliers going to be much more inspired in the Chick-fil-A peach and the Chick-fil-A Bowl, excuse me, than Auburn will be.
Cool. Now let's just talk about the Titans. Is the line affected if Hasselbeck or Locker plays?
Right now we're sitting with the Titans as a 6.5-point favorite. I can tell you with about 99% confidence, I will be rooting for the Indianapolis Colts, much like we do every week, it feels like, out here in Vegas. I don't see the number moving a whole lot. I'm kind of surprised if the Titans do elect to use Matt Hasselbeck. I know they're fighting for a playoff berth. But once they are eliminated, if that happens, Jake Locker probably should get a bunch of reps. Was a little disappointed that he couldn't get them into the end zone last week for a decision the house really needed on the Titans.
All right, and then our main man, Big Ben Roethlisberger, will he play and how that affect the line because they're playing San Francisco, which is a pretty good team in NFC?
We actually have this number off the board right now. Big Ben, probably among the top five quarterbacks in his overall impact to a point spread. With him in the lineup, San Francisco projects out to be about a 2.5 to 3-point favorite. If Big Ben can't go and they're forced to defer to Dixon or Charlie Batch or whoever Pittsburgh wants to use under center, look for San Francisco to be a 4.5 to 5-point favorite. And while 2 points doesn't seem like a lot, when you talk about that field goal range, especially in what plays out to be a pretty defensive struggle, every point will be key to bettors looking to try and get an edge.
Todd, you mentioned that you guys are Colts fans. Is that because you have people every week wagering against the Colts, or is that because of the prop bet about the Colts going 0-16?
We actually didn't have the prop bet on the Colts going 0-16 this year, so that's removed from the equation. I know there are some of my counterparts around town are definitely sweating the final three games for Indianapolis, but it's just the fact that bettors don't want to come in and bet Indianapolis catching less than a touchdown. I mean, this is a team who's shown a little bit of improvement, but last week needed a heroic backdoor from Dan Orlovsky on the final play of regulation. I mean, it's just a question of you come in here, you see the Colts at 0-13. Who wants to bet on them? Much easier for bettors to lay the points and go against Indy.
Todd, are you seeing Tebow mania out there in terms of the betting lines? And if so, first of all, is it true that he won 5 times in a row as an underdog, which I've heard has only happened 3 times in the modern era in the NFL? And then secondly, what kind of action are you seeing or associated with Tebow around this massive game between the Patriots and the Broncos this Sunday?
Tebow hysteria has definitely caught on here in Las Vegas. I know I sent out via Twitter Sunday afternoon. It was one of the first times in recent memory in my short tenure with the company that the room erupted with chants for one NFL football player. We don't even hear that on Super Bowl Sunday with the Tebow chants late in the game. However, for all this energy and excitement surrounding what he's done to Denver, it hasn't stopped the public from coming in at about a 3-1 clip on the Patriots so far for the big showdown Sunday afternoon.
And what's the line of that game right now for people out there?
Right now, New England is listed as a 6.5-point favorite. I expect that we'll see some of the professionals come in on Denver as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday.
Great stuff, Todd. Appreciate it. And people can follow you again on Twitter, at Todd Furman.
At Todd Furman, always happy to answer questions. I know as we get into the thick of bowl season, and once Vanderbilt starts to get back to 100%, there'll be plenty of active sports fans looking to know how we're adjusting our odds on a daily basis.
Thank you, Todd. Always an interesting discussion with him, talking about line movement.
He's awesome.
What people are doing out there.
So good at his job. And a lot of 3HL crew have gone up and actually introduced themselves to him. If you happen to be out in Vegas at Caesars Palace, he works there a lot of hours in the main sports book.